From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Colleges and universities are like cities where upwards of tens of thousands of people live, work, play. And these campuses come with their own public safety. In recent years, campus police across the state have been required to report the inventories and usage of military equipment in their department. They're also required to hold public meetings for the community to provide feedback. But a new investigation has found that not every campus is following the letter of the law, with some schools leaving out information, not submitting reports, or even having unauthorized weapons. Phoebe Huss is a UCLA student and a reporter with the CalMatters College Journalism Network. CalMatters is a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state, and she joins us now with her reporting. Welcome to Insight.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Phoebe, as I mentioned, you're a college student yourself. Is this something that was on your mind as you've been in college? What sparked this reporting?
The idea started with the military equipment that is at my own campus, which is UCLA. Every UC campus has a police department, and their equipment report gets approved by the UC Board of Regents every year. But I wanted to make sure that the promises that the police departments make at those annual meetings were actually carried out, or I wanted to see whether they aligned with reality. For example, the UCLA Police Department promised to hold a community engagement meeting in 2025 that students and faculty could attend to share and provide feedback on what they think about military equipment. But it turns out that nobody even attended the meeting, and it's not very clear how that meeting was publicized or whether students were actually able to know about it. And once I learned that there was this little discrepancy in what was communicated versus what was true, I wanted to see if that was the case across the state, across the three public higher education systems, which are the University of California, the California State University, and California Community Colleges.
How many campuses are we talking about in California?
This is about 150 campuses. 148 is the more precise figure.
That's a lot of campuses. So how did you go about this investigation?
Well, what I was looking into is whether the campuses and their police departments are complying with a very specific statewide transparency law called Assembly Bill 481, which is from 2021. And this law requires the production of several different documents that every police department is supposed to produce very regularly, at least annually, and then make available on their website. That includes a military equipment use policy that very specifically dictates how colleges and their police department can use military-grade equipment, and you know, all the times that it can be brought out, what its purpose is, how manufacturers describe it. And then once that policy is approved by a college's governing body and the college is free to use the equipment, the college then has to produce a military equipment report every year, which includes a current inventory of all the equipment that the college has, a record of every time it was used in that given year, a record of all complaints or even concerns that were filed by members of the public about the equipment.
So what sparked this law? I mean, this is pretty recent, right? It's only been about 4 years since it took effect, but military equipment has existed on campuses well before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the assembly member who wrote this law, whose name is David Chu, who's now the city attorney of San Francisco, what he was noticing is that police around the state were acquiring military-grade equipment and weapons very rapidly without a ton of transparency alongside it. So what this meant was that civilians were at least inadvertently cut off from the acquisition process and not providing feedback. He also noted that military equipment is more commonly deployed in Black and brown communities, meaning that these marginalized groups are most affected by police militarization. And what he wanted to do was establish statewide rules that would apply to all police departments and sheriff's offices to make sure that police are only acquiring this equipment if there's no other reasonable way that police can uphold civilian safety, and also that civilians are very tuned in with the process and can provide public feedback at many different points.
Okay, I understand that. When it comes to military equipment, maybe people aren't really familiar with what exactly that entails. So what's classified as military equipment? What are we talking about?
Yeah, So military equipment defined under the law, there's a lot of different tools and weapons that fall into these categories, and one of the categories is also just anything that a governing body, which could be a city or local, or for colleges, a college governing body thinks deserves oversight. But this includes a lot of weapons and tools like semi-automatic rifles, assault weapons, drones that you might see at deployed at demonstrations or protests or things like that, any sort of non-lethal weapon that can deploy projectiles, things like flashbangs and stun grenades that are used in crowd control, tasers that are supposed to incapacitate people who are believed to be acting with lethal force, pepper balls, beanbag launchers, and also things like long-range acoustic devices, which are basically very, very strong amplification sound devices that can actually cause hearing damage even over a short exposure because of how loud they are.
I was pretty surprised when, like, kind of looking at the itinerary of what equipment can exist on campus, that there are some campuses that have a good number of AR-15s, and I understand that that's probably the most popular firearm in the country. When you talk to campuses and colleges, what is the rationale behind having this type of military equipment on campus? Why has it existed?
Well, a lot of campuses have owned and used AR-15s for a very long time. Come 2022, when the law was in effect, they had to start reporting their AR-15s to whatever governing body oversees them if they're not standard issue firearms. But the justification that's very commonly given is just that it is very helpful in upholding student and officer safety. For semi-automatic weapons and other lethal devices specifically, it's for de-escalating situations in which civilians' safety or well-being seem to be very strongly at risk. Other military equipment serves different purposes, all of which must be enumerated in the use policy under the transparency law.
In what scenarios does this military equipment come into use? I know you mentioned some lethal equipment, but there's non-lethal ones as well. Like, if you can give us some examples of when this would come into play on campus.
A lot of the non-lethal weapons are used primarily, actually, for crowd management, which is for protests, demonstrations, rallies, and other activism-driven events that police believe are bordering on unlawful activity, whether this is because there's too many people in the area or because they're just criticizing their behavior. And it's used to, disperse the situation, get people out.
So since this law took effect over the last 4 years, the goal, right, is to increase transparency, not to really affect, what military equipment has and can exist on campus, but just so the public can weigh in and the public and students and faculty, campus communities are aware. You did a really wide canvas. I mean, you looked at, almost 150 campuses across the state at universities and colleges. What did you learn about whether this law is actually being implemented from one campus to the next?
Well, first, I want to add that the law does also impose some caveats on whether campuses can acquire military equipment at all, because there are more factors that colleges are supposed to consider when deciding whether or not they can authorize campus police to use these weapons. So it does limit whether they can acquire them a little bit. But yeah, I found that the law has so many different requirements that a lot of campuses were not following them in their entirety. Like, for example, some colleges wouldn't post the military equipment report or policy online, which meant that people didn't really have a way of finding it and knowing what the inventory was. Some of them would post a report or policy, but it would not have all the information necessary, like when it can be brought out or descriptions of the equipment. Some campuses didn't hold public meetings, or they weren't able to verify that they held public meetings, which are, of course, supposed to be transparency, town hall type forums. Some campuses didn't publicize the meetings thoroughly enough or open them to the general public, which is re required by the law. Like, they were very limited. And then some campuses actually owned equipment that was not even authorized under their own policy, because every piece of equipment that a college uses or to be authorized by the governing body first, which would then show up in the policy. But there were a couple of discrepancies that I found as well. And I was not able to cover everything.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Phoebe Huss from the CalMatters College Journalism Network about a recent investigation into military equipment at colleges and universities around the state. So just honing in a little bit more on this, these gaps in compliance that you were finding across California. When you talked to universities and colleges, I mean, did you get a better understanding of why these gaps exist?
Well, there was no one specific reason that applied to all colleges or even all colleges within a system. They were all very individualized. Like, for example, the administration at Compton College simply didn't know that the law existed. That was the reasoning provided for why there was this gap in transparency. Other colleges said that they were undergoing big changes or even chaos in their departments that prevented them from following the transparency law from year to year. A lot of them cited transitions in leadership, like a new chief that allowed the transparency requirement to go unnoticed. But I will say that many, or maybe close to all of the colleges that I would confront with the fact that there was this gap in transparency would very quickly state that they wanted to change it and follow the law in the future. Nobody that I spoke to disregarded the law or brushed it off as just unnecessary bureaucracy, which was a very common critique of the law when it was before it was passed, is that it would create unnecessary roadblocks for police to acquire the equipment that, well, that would keep civilians safe. But all the campuses that I spoke to were eager to comply and be more transparent. Just not all of them were doing it.
In the last minute or so we have, as I let off the top, you are a college student. What perspective can student journalists like yourself bring to this issue?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I only just scratched the surface of this issue. There's a lot more reporting that needs to be done. I compiled resources from every college known that has military equipment that can help student reporters going forward. It would be tremendously valuable for student reporters to pursue colleges' compliance with the transparency law more thoroughly on the individual level, and also see what students on their campus think about it, because I wasn't able to address absolutely everything. And yeah, it's an important open issue.
Yeah, and more reporting for you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe, thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you so much.
Phoebe Huss is a UCLA student and a reporter for the CalMatters College Journalism Network. We've been talking about her investigation into military equipment inventories at California colleges and universities. Up next, the Supreme Court recently ruled on a case over the popular and controversial weed killer Roundup, following a wave of lawsuits accusing Monsanto of failing to have a cancer warning label. We'll check in on what the ruling in favor of the manufacturer means for California, where spraying is still happening on public forest land. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.